Good morning.
Good morning.
All right.
Whoops.
The last two Sundays, we've been talking about having a focus on three particular areas of our Christian growth. This is something that I want to try to focus on this year. They are the areas of your prayer life and the area of your Bible literacy and also the area of giving or your stewardship. And the growth of all these areas ultimately depends on you, depends on whether you want to grow in this particular areas or not. And, you know, we as a church, as a church leadership, we'll do our best, and we should, to try to stimulate that desire, and we'll try to provide the framework for that growth. But at the end of the day, you have to want it for yourself. And I want to encourage you to take ownership of that personal spiritual growth. And it comes to mind what the Bible says, Jesus says, about embracing the true vine or simply being satisfied with just coming to church or being part of a church. Jesus says in John 15, he says that if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. You know, so the image that we get is something that is disconnected and just kind of dries up over time. And none of us want a spiritual walk like that, where after, you know, 5 years, let's save that one for later, but so much for my punchline, you know? Well, you know, none of us want to have... That was messed up. Because here, I'm getting something serious here, okay? Basically, you know, none of us want to have the image of a spiritual life, a spiritual journey where you just kind of wither away. It gets dried up, you got disconnected from Christ, even though you're in church, you're going, you're doing the Christian thing, and then meanwhile, all these years, you've been disconnected, and eventually, you get dried up spiritually, and you wither away. And I don't think anybody here wants that. Whether it's 5 years from now, or maybe 10 years from now, if you last that long, or maybe after you get married, or even having kids, right, that your Christian walk just dries up and withers away. Or maybe after a very stressful period of life, it just dries up and withers away. But the Bible says that if we choose to remain in Him, our Christian walk, our spiritual journey will always be fruitful, thriving, and not just surviving. And so today, I want to begin this new series for this year. The series is called Seeking His Presence. It's about prayer, but ultimately it's not just about prayer. It's about seeking His presence in our lives until we see Christ in His full glory. That prayer is just one of the, you know, important vehicles that we use to get into God's presence, because ultimately that's what we want, is to be in the presence of God. I'm not talking about in heaven when we see Him face to face. I'm talking about right now, having His presence. You know, as I survey over the years, as I think back, you know, I think back about the years with our corporate prayer ministry and how that has developed in Grace Faith. As I think back, you know, I must say I am encouraged that you might remember back in the days when prayer meeting was at, I think, 2 o'clock, right? 2 to 3 o'clock for that 1 hour. And when if a dozen people showed up, it was perceived as that was a good day, right? And sometimes when we see, you know, new people or visitors come and to come to prayer meeting because they didn't know what they were getting into, all right? I mean, let's be honest here. You know, there are times, not too long ago, when going to prayer meeting, it was like pulling teeth. That even though it was only for 1 hour, it just felt long and boring. I mean, what a shame if you think about it. To reduce God's presence into something that we perceive as long and boring. And I can't wait till it's over. You know, I'm glad that prayer ministry here in this church has developed well beyond that. We're past that stage. Now, we might not be as developed as we want to be, but right now, we can look back and we can reflect on some positive areas of growth, some good things happening. And certainly the most obvious one is that, you know, there's more than a dozen people. There's more people going to prayer meeting now. I think there's something like 40 people or so every single month. Maybe, you know, the fact that there's a good breakfast there waiting for you has something to do with it. Maybe because we changed the time, it's no longer at 2 o'clock, it's right at the service. Maybe those things are factors. I don't know how much of it is factors, but you know what? You know, God's people are going there and they're praying. So I praise God for that. And not only has the attendance grown, but I think in terms of the depth of our prayer ministry, I think that has increased as well. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but it is really less and less request-based and more about Him. That our corporate prayer meetings over the last couple of months or a year or so is no longer about, you know, me first, Lord. Hear my requests. You know, do stuff for me, Lord. Instead, it is more, you know, God first. And we have come into your presence. Instead of making prayer meeting always about our requests and our needs. You know, Bill and Emily, who are in the West Coast today, I guess, they've been doing a great job. They've been working hard to transform our prayer meeting and our prayer emphasis. And I believe it's catching on to other people. So I'm encouraged by that. I do thank God. I praise God for that. Because how can it be that praising God and exalting His name can ever be long and boring? I mean, if it's like that, then you know what? It's not God's fault. You know, we're the ones that need to change. Because otherwise, let me tell you, you know, heaven, you know, when we get there, it's going to be long and it's going to be boring. It's going to be like a prayer meeting that never ends. So there's something on our side that needs to change. And by the way, there's prayer meeting right at the service too, where you get a little taste of heaven. And I hope it's a wonderful experience for us. I encourage you to be part of that. So this morning, I want to begin this series. I want to talk a little bit about answered prayers, or more of a lack of answered prayers. That's what I want to focus on today. I'd like to ask if you just join with me in prayer as we begin. Father, Lord, we come to your house, Lord, and we have expectations, not because, Lord, we have done something great and holy for you, and we come here on Sundays expecting you to pay us back. No, Lord, we have expectation because we believe that you are a God of mercy, that you are a generous God, that you are a God that is so motivated to give your children good gifts. And that's why we come to your house with expectations. Lord Jesus, there's no other reason why we got up this morning in the cold to come to church and we didn't expect anything from you. So Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would manifest yourself, that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us, Lord, what your word has to say, not to just give us more knowledge, but Father, Lord, stir in us. Do something within us. Move within us. That, Lord, we can be people that are ever so eager to come into your presence and to pursue you and to seek after you. So, Lord, I ask for that this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when my kids were in early elementary school, one of the favorite cartoon shows that they liked to watch was this character named Arthur. Okay, hold on now, right? Yeah, I forgot what animal he was. I mean, does anybody know what animal? Oh, what? What is that? Okay, I can't pronounce that, but okay. I thought he was a teddy bear, but all right. And I remember this one particular episode where Arthur experienced his worst fear, right? His worst fear came true, and his worst fear, obviously, you've seen the picture already, was to go to school only with his underwear because, you know, he forgot to put pants on. And unfortunately for Arthur, you know, let's put the graphic up there, please, all right? Unfortunately for Arthur, he realized it when it's too late, when everybody at school saw him and were laughing at him and mocking him, that he just had his underwear on. And, you know, so looking at this and look at the shock on his face, and we could all just kind of look at this PowerPoint, laugh, and, oh, that's Arthur. But you know what? You know, perhaps there are moments in our lives where we're caught by surprise. And perhaps we feel a little bit embarrassment in our own lives. You can put that down. Thanks. And I'd like to share with you, and I feel very vulnerable this morning. I don't know why. But I want to share with you my top five worst fears in the ministry as a pastor. All right? Are you ready for that? You know, maybe you guys are getting a little sleepy. So I got to throw something out there for you. Because I feel that I can trust you. You know, we know each other a little bit, you know? So I can trust you. What is my top five worst fears as a pastor? How about that? All right? So I got this PowerPoint here. Top five worst fears. The first one, go ahead. Going up there to preach without notes. You know, here's my notes, all right? If I go up here and all of a sudden, like, hey, where'd it go? I thought it was right here. All of a sudden, fear would really seize me because you know, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not, you know, Francis Chan. I'm not all these, you know, guys that could talk up, you know, for an hour without notes and all that stuff. You know, sorry, I'll never be that person, you know? And I remember this one particular year when there was a bad snowstorm a couple years ago where only about a dozen people showed up, all right? And since a dozen people showed up, we decided, you know what? We should have a service. You know, I mean, we got people, we got the church here, and, you know, the mics work and everything. We should have a service. So I remember, I'm not going to name names, all right, but that person is here in this church right now. But this person said to me, you know what, Pastor, you know, why don't you just give us a message today? You know, just give us a message right now. You know, just 20 minutes, just say something. You know what I mean? I was thinking, you know what, it's not just 20 minutes, go up there and say something. You know, it's not, you know, I mean, you know, there's work here, you know? And so I remember I was gripped with fear. I didn't want to show it, but I was thinking, oh, my goodness. As people were shoveling the snow, as people were getting to lunch or breakfast, I was just scrambling for a message because I have that fear. You know, without the notes, I don't have enough things to say. Second fear, doing a wedding and saying the wrong name. I haven't done that here in this church, but my cousin's wedding a couple years ago, all right? I remember, outdoor wedding, everything was perfect. And then somehow when the guy with the HD DVD camera came over recording the whole mess, that just got me a little nervous. And I don't know what it was, but I forgot that her parents had remarried and I forgot whose last name it was. So I got the first name right. And then the last name was like, oh, okay, no, it was Chen, not Lee, and so on and so forth. So I was kind of embarrassed, you know? This is someone's special moment so that when they look at the DVDs, that they look past, all the history as a reflector, say, oh, yeah, my cousin made that mistake, didn't he? You know? All right, number three, my top five worst ministry fears, being late for a retreat or forgetting about an important event. You know, last year, there was a summer retreat that was in Philly, and you know what? As unprofessional as it sounds like, I was late. But I had a reason, okay? Right on Francis Lewis Boulevard, I was leaving to go to Philly. I gave myself enough time, and then there was an old man. I had to help an old man. You know, you're probably saying, oh, I heard this one before. But I was helping this old man. He just got into a car accident. He looked dazed, and there was his grandson. And so I stayed there on the scene to translate for him, and I was there for about an hour and so on and so forth. I was late. And I remember, I forgot, when I was little, I forgot a best friend's wedding. Not best friend, he was a good friend of mine. Forgot his wedding, and to this day, I can never forgive myself. So that was my worst fears, okay? Number two, all right? To congratulate a woman by asking how many months or when is your due date when she is not pregnant. And did that ever happen to you before? You know? Let me just give you a hint. You know, if you suspect, just don't say anything. And I was in Wall Bounds, and I haven't seen her in a while. I said, hey, how you doing? Wow, congratulations. When's the due date? And she goes, what due date? And I remember my mind, thinking like 200 miles an hour to try to spin this one. And I couldn't get out of that one. And so my last one is this, number five. Number one, stunned and unprepared when asked, tell us, Pastor, what miracle has God done in your life recently? You know, it happens that not too long ago, we were in a short-term mission trip in Cambodia, and we were at a small group Bible study in a very, very remote village. It was just a few people that was there. And when we had finished our Bible study with some local farmers, let me just give you a picture here. They had a prayer request for rain because they had a drought. And it was a very extensive drought. You could tell the ground, the mud, it was all cracked up and everything. And so there was no rain. And when there's no rain, then the crops don't grow. And when the crops don't grow, they can't make money and they can't pay their debt. And it's really not that much different from this side of the world, because we also have a drought, but of a different kind. So then when we're having this Bible study here, and it was being translated and everything, and this one farmer, I remember him, it was this guy here, all the way here to the left, he had this question, after the Bible study was a Q&A time, and he asked, Pastor, tell us about a miracle of God, what has God done in your life that he came through for you? Please, share with us. And the rest of the table looked back at me, and they were waiting for something. And I was really caught off guard by that. I had my Bible study prepared, and that I had, but I wasn't prepared for that kind of question. So you know what I did? I came up with something lame. Something that I was hoping that would be lost in a translation. So I threw out something that was true. I mean, I didn't sit there and lie. I didn't go to Cambodia and lie to them. But I went there and I told them something that was true, that God did come through for me, but it was stuff that was more than 10 years ago. Not recently. So that question of what miracle of God has he done in your life recently is a hard one to answer. I mean, if I went down this morning and I walked down and I started asking people, what has God done in your life recently? Please tell us. Or by some of you. Okay, I'm sorry, we can all that. But I was like, she was not asleep. If I asked you, what has God done in your life recently? Please. And then have faces stare back at you, waiting for a response. I mean, it's difficult. It's not easy, isn't it? People want to know about God from God's people. I mean, who else is going to ask? How will you answer that? If a community teen that you're playing cards with asks you that question, what of God's miracle has he done in your life recently? Or maybe at work, you have a coworker that's always been a skeptic towards Christianity. And for that moment of time, there's a window where they're sincerely asking a question about your faith. They don't normally ask, and they probably never will ask, but that moment they ask, how will you answer them? And a Cambodian farmer that asked me that question, he asked not because he was sarcastic. He honestly needed to hear a real life story of a miracle because he was waiting one for himself, you see. He wanted to hear in my context so that he could be encouraged in his context. And I don't know if what I gave him that day is what he needed that day. I don't know if it really helped him or not. I don't know. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But sometimes, we're grabbing for straws, looking for answers that does not adequately answer the question. We say stuff like, God came through for me this morning when I was driving and this car just pulled out of a spot that's right on the same block as church. Praise God. Or we begin to trivialize, what we consider a miracle. Later on, if the New York Giants won, that'll be a miracle. Wow, praise God. But remember what the Egyptian magicians had said to Pharaoh. In the light of all those plagues that were happening before them, all these things that don't normally happen, and all these things that are unseasonably occurring, they said to Pharaoh that this can only be the finger of God. It's no coincidence. This just has to be the finger of God. It is measured and it is calculated. It's an act of God. So the question of what miracle of God has he done in your life recently is a hard one to answer. But why? And there are a few reasons why. In your bulletin outline, I have them listed there if you want. The first one is, you have not asked for much. James chapter 4 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And then only repeats, I mean, Jesus repeats the same thing, you know, to his disciples earlier. Jesus says that until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. And when Jesus said that to his disciples, it was really towards the end of a three-year ministry. So during this period of 3 years, almost 3 years, they never asked Jesus in his name for anything. And by asking God and persevering at it, you know what? It expresses our dependency towards God when we do that. And that is not easy, nor is it natural for us, let's face it, especially for us who are, you know, well-educated, having access to technology and information, us who are financially well-resourced, and we possess capabilities and talents and gifts, and if we're physically, well. You see, it takes a lot of faith to ask God sincerely when we can solve our own problems. You know, trusting God becomes more something that we just say rather than something that we actually do. Consider how we are all familiar with that model, "In God we trust." You've heard of that, right? "In God we trust." It's a statement that originated from the documents of the Declaration of Independence. And since 1864, that motto was stamped onto all U.S. currency. It is displayed in all the national monuments in Washington, D.C., as well as countless courtrooms that are out there with the background on, you know, "In God we trust" all over this country. But that motto of "In God we trust" became something that was just there, isn't it, right? It's just there. We still look at it. We say it once in a while from time to time, but it really has no place in everyday life of a typical U.S. citizen. And we study and talk about God's miracles, but are we really asking for one? Are we really expecting one, you see? And if we are asking for one, then what exactly are we asking God for? You know, a miracle so that our will can be done or his will be done. You know, another reason why it might be difficult to answer that question of what miracle of God has he done in your life recently is this: that we are doing just fine without the Holy Spirit. You know, currently we're studying this in our adult Sunday school about the Holy Spirit. I think it's a good study. I encourage you, if you're not part of that, be part of that. And it's our hope that we do really more than just study the material and know a little bit more information about it. I mean, I want my church to experience the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, this gift that God talks about. I want my church to experience it. And perhaps the very first step to do that is to simply acknowledge that, you know what, we're not there yet. We haven't completely opened up this gift yet. Maybe that's the first step for us. Let me ask you this question this morning. If the Holy Spirit just took off for a month, would that change anything in our church? Seriously. If the Holy Spirit just took off for a month, would that change anything here in Grace Faith Church? Now, this is just my opinion. The opinion of a pastor, I guess, here. I probably would think that it wouldn't make that much of a difference. At least not as much as we think. Because we could continue to have our services. We can continue to have our church programs. We'll continue to eat later on for lunch. We'll have some laughs after service. We could continue to play board games with teens from the community. You see, church life will do just fine if the Holy Spirit just all of a sudden left for a month. And it sounds heretical, but yet, is it not true? I mean, honestly, there would be greater impact if you stopped tithing in church. Because at least if that was true, you know, we will all recognize that, wow, you know what, this is getting serious now. The days are numbered for this church. You know, people stop tithing, people stop giving. And if you stop coming to church, then we would know that we would have a big problem. that we would have emergency board meetings to discuss why the attendance went down to 30. And we have to come up quickly with an action plan to be implemented and so on and so forth. But if the Holy Spirit left, would anybody notice? Would there be an outcry greater than if money and people were missing? Honestly, we have to ask ourselves that question. You know, we need to be disturbed by the inconsistencies between our church and the one that we read about in the Bible. Somehow, we have taken that here in the Bible and made it into a Christianity where it's about church attendance, it's about following some church-based traditions and nothing more. It has become merely just adding a little Jesus into our well-balanced lives, into our moral life, and really nothing more. As if Jesus was just a flavor that we add on. And our spiritual journey is really, it's really our journey still, where we want Christ to kind of follow us along and go where we go. And then when we hit a snag, then we want Jesus to come and help us to get us back up onto our feet so that we continue life with the way we want to walk and how we want to live. Yeah, that's not the Christianity that the Bible speaks about. And God doesn't show up in that kind of Christianity. And we're all guilty of this, folks. All of us here, including myself. And we need to call back. We need to go back into this kind of Christianity where the Bible talks about. Because real Christianity is about surrendering to Christ and his purpose. It's not just adding on Jesus into our lives so we can continue to do what we want to do. Now going back to the original question, what miracle of God has he done recently in your life? And there's one more reason why. One more reason why it may be difficult to respond to something like that. And it's this, that you were satisfied with the miracles of long ago. As I mentioned to you before, I threw out something in response to that Cambodian farmer. He gave me that question. I knew that, you know, a no response would be unacceptable. So I told him how God had transformed me from what used to be perhaps a very fickle person that can't make up his mind to a person that is better at sticking to a purpose now, you know? And I mentioned how God had used, you know, the times of the night shift at UPS and all that was going on at that time to challenge my tendency to avoid difficulties in life, to evade stressful situations. That was all true, but you know what? That was more than 10 years ago. You know, Francis Chan, he wrote this book called Forgotten God, and this is what he wrote. Part of what he wrote is this. He says, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced his presence or action in their lives over the past year, and many of them do not believe they can. I mean, has that happened to you? Where you feel like, you know what, I at least have one story to tell. Even though it was a long time ago, I got one story. It's better than another guy at church who has no story. I have at least one story. And then you become somewhat content with that. That maybe, you know, it's normal or natural. That's just how it is. Where you know, God was more active in your life back then when you were young as opposed to recently. You can recall the days where your heart was just on fire for God. You were so interested in the things of God. And now life has eroded most of that away, that you just have memories of long ago. You know, whatever happened to the idea that the longer you are a Christian, the more you are in love with Jesus? What happened to that? I thought that is how it works. The longer you walk with the Lord, the more passion you have with him, not the other way around. You see, this is how a normal Christian would sound like. According to the Bible, in Psalms 40, it says this, that he put a new song in my mouth, a new song. And then Psalms 98 says, sing to the Lord, this is our scripture reading, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds, marvelous things. You see, God wants to give you a new song to add to your collection of the old songs. You see, if recently the words of the Bible, if it spoke to you in a meaningful and personal way, then you know that's a new song that the Lord has given you. You know, this week, you know, I was just like, you know, in my quiet time, I was like, God, you know, there's a lot of things in my life that could have went a different way. And had it gone a different way, my life would be very different from today. And I thank you for stepping in. I thank you that even though I didn't have an earthly father to watch over me, to go through and navigate through all these different channels in life, that I had a perfect, flawless father to watch over me and think for me ahead of time. I praise him for that. That's my new song for that day. If you have ever tasted the sweetness of fellowship with the Lord in your extended prayer with him, and that it sets the tone for the rest of your day and the rest of your week, then that is a new song for you. And when you find yourself acting Christ-like in a situation where you normally don't act Christ-like, then you know what? Record that song. That's a new song that God has given you. And when you experience the deep joy, the peace, and the love from the Holy Spirit, you know it's not just because you're happy about the Giants winning or anything like that. This is something from the Lord. Then that is a new song. Let me just tell you something. The music is out there. You see, God, he wants to give you new songs. And his music is all over and around us. And that we would be missing out if we were not looking for it. Because consider the prophecy that came true in Acts chapter 2. And I'll close with this. Acts chapter 2 reads this. It says that in the last days, which is right now, the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You see, the last chapter of human history is right now, which is between Pentecost and the second coming. That's us. And so we're about 2,000 years into this last days. But what does it say here with all peoples? It lists the sons and daughters, young and old, and men and women, regardless of generation, regardless of gender. It says that they will prophesy. Prophesy means to speak with divine inspiration. Or in other words, to speak on behalf of God in a certain context. And this is obviously not only referring to pastors preaching and all that, because not all, you know, sermons are spirit anointed. It's about God giving everyone, people like you, everyone who wants the Holy Spirit, it's about God giving you a story to tell. Or in other words, a new song of how God has worked in your life, how God has come through for you, how God has done a miracle that no one else, no other circumstance could have happened, that was God. You see, God is all, he is pouring himself out to you. And we will no longer be caught speechless when asked about what has God done in your life recently. And so if this is true, if Acts chapter 2 is true, that since God is pouring out his own spirit on his people, on all people, then how should we respond? What is the appropriate response from us? If the music is out there, then what should we do about getting our new song? Now, let me show you a couple of images, and we'll close with this, that will help you make proper response in light of this truth. All right, I'll give you just three images here. All right, the music is out there. God has poured out his spirit that's out there for you. You know that. He promised you. First image, notice the shape of a year. All right, there's no other part of your body that has that shape, right? You see how that ear, okay? All right, there's a reason why God designed it to go like this, all right? Next one. This is not a view from my window. This is just basically rooftops where you have a lot of satellite dishes. Every family that lives there, they want their soccer, they want their soap operas, they want whatever TV they're watching, and so put out satellite dish, and they're all facing one way. All right, they want to capture the waves that's all around them, the broadcast. Lastly, one more. All right, this is a whale shark, and you know, for those of you who have watched enough animal shows, you know whale sharks eat plankton. All right, and that's what they do all day long. They move and swim around, and they open up their mouth, just the big mouth that God has given them, to engulf all that is around them, the plankton that's all over them, to engulf all that. So basically what I'm trying to say to you with these three images, if it is true that God has poured out his Spirit so that all peoples, whether generation, old and young, regardless of gender, if the music is all around you, then there's a new song for you. So our response is to capture what is out there. That the Spirit of God is there. The grace is given to you. Before the second coming, this is God's last hurrah. And one of the ways we do that is by prayer. And later on, in about 15 minutes or so, we'll have corporate prayer. I invite you to do that, to come and experience that. And then there's a prayer team. Bill and Emily made an announcement about a prayer team. This is where we want to take it to the next level with a smaller group, where we discover the full spectrum of prayer, where it becomes so worship-based that it's not because of the snacks or the program. It's because God is there. That's why people want to go. And we want to see new leaders that are people that want to bring prayer and spread that as a movement here in this church. And I want to mention one more thing. There's an intercessory prayer that you can also be part of. You know, Jesse, he has this online spreadsheet of the different prayers and requests from the people that we're trying to reach out to, the ministry that I believe God has given to us with the community teens. Then that's another area for you to reach out and to pray. Let me just close in prayer. Father, Lord, I trust that your Holy Spirit is able to use, Lord, a message that comes from, Lord, a flawed person. And Lord, I trust that your perfect will can be expressed even despite the flaws from us. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord, we come to your presence. Lord, stir in our hearts, Lord, that we want this new song that is no longer acceptable, that, Lord, we cannot recall, Lord, you doing something in us, Lord, recently, that there has to be this active relationship that your scripture talks about. Every time that we come short of the Christianity that your Bible speaks about, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, don't let us off the hook. Father, Lord, bring upon us, Lord, the disturbance, the conviction. Do whatever that is necessary. Bring us back to your presence, Lord. Lord Jesus, that's where we belong. That's where your children belong, in the Father's presence. Lord Jesus, Lord, I lift you up, Lord. I lift you up, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.